Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are in the book of Job. So if you find the Psalms near the middle of the scriptures, turn left, find Job right before the Psalms. We'll be in Job 39 and 40 today. I will pray, read through these chapters in Job, and make some devotional thoughts. Idea of application at the end. I'm really just having my own personal devotions, having you listen in, follow along as I read, and really considering your own thoughts and application to these chapters today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the story of Job. And as we near the end of this story soon, Father, help us to hear from you. Your words to Job are really your words to us. Help me to pay attention and to consider them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in the midst of God's words now, which is near the end of Job, to Job. Chapter 39, verse 1. Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Do you watch when the doe bears her fawn? Do you count the mouths till they bear? Do you know the time they give birth? They crouch down and bring forth their young. Their labor pains are ended. Their young thrive and grow strong in the wilds. They leave and do not return. Who let the wild donkey go free? Who untied its ropes? If you remember from last time, the last couple of chapters, God is asking a lot of his rhetorical questions. Those that need no answer. The answer is obvious. He's showing Job that Job really knows nothing and has no complaint here, because God is the one who's creator. God knows all these things. Verse 6, I gave it the wasteland as its home, the salt flats as its habitat. It laughs at the commotion in the town. It does not hear a driver shout. It ranges the hills for its pasture and searches for any green thing. Will the wild ox consent to serve you? Will it stay by your manger at night? Can you hold it to the furrow with the harness? Will it till the valleys behind you? Will you rely on it for its great strength? Will you leave your heavy work to it? Can you trust it to haul in your grain and bring it to your threshing floor? The wings of the ostrich flap joyfully, though they cannot compare with the wings and feathers of the stork. She lays her eggs on the ground and lets them warm in the sand, unmindful that a foot may crush them, that some wild animal may trample them. She treats her young harshly, as if they were not hers. She cares not that her labor was in vain. For God did not endow her with wisdom, or give her a share of good sense. Yet when she spreads her feathers to run, she laughs at horse and rider. Do you give the horse its strength, or clothe its neck with a flowing mane? Do you make it leap like a locust, striking terror with its proud snorting? It paws fiercely, rejoicing in its strength, and charges into the fray. It laughs at fear, afraid of nothing. It does not shy away from the sword. The quiver rattles against its side, along with the flashing spear and lance. In frenzied excitement, it eats up the ground. It cannot stand still when the trumpet sounds. At the blast of the trumpet, it snorts, aha! It catches the scent of battle from afar, the shout of commanders and the battle cry. Does the hawk take flight by your wisdom and spread its wings toward the south? Does the eagle soar at your command and build its nest on high? It dwells on a cliff and stays there at night, a rocky crag in its foothold. From there it looks for food. Its eyes detect it from afar. Its young ones feast on blood. And where the slain are, there it is. Well, that is chapter 39. Chapter 40. The Lord said to Job, "Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him." All right, so in 39, he's finishing up some of his rhetorical questions and talking about the different animals and how, you know, God has created them. He's sovereign over them. Job really knows nothing about this. And now you have God continuing to speak to Job, questioning him about how Job could accuse God in his heart and mind. And Job answers, verse 3, "Then Job answered the Lord, 'I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God's, and can your voice thunder like his? Then adorn yourself with glory and splendor, and clothe yourself in honor and majesty. Unleash the fury of your wrath. Look at all who are proud and bring them low. Look at all who are proud and humble them. Crush the wicked where they stand. Bury them all in the dust together. Shroud their faces in the grave. Then I myself will admit to you that your own right hand can save you. Look at Behemoth, which I made along with you and which feeds on grass like an ox. What strength it has in its loins, what power in the muscles of its belly. Its tail sways like a cedar. The sinews of its thighs are close knit. This is one of those passages where some think maybe he's talking about a dragon or dragon-like animal. Its bones are tubes of bronze, its limbs like rods of iron. It ranks first among the works of God, yet its maker can approach it with his sword. The hills bring it, their produce, and all the wild animals play nearby. Under the lotus plants it lies, hidden among the reeds in the marsh. The lotuses conceal it in their shadow. The poplars by the stream surround it. A raging river does not alarm it. It is secure, though the Jordan should surge against its mouth. Can anyone capture it by the eyes or trap it and pierce its nose? That's the end of chapter 40 and the end of our reading for today. But I just thought it very interesting at the beginning of chapter 40, the Lord says to Job, "Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him." Then Job says something, you know, "I'm unworthy. I shouldn't speak. I'll say no more." And then God says, "Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me." And then he goes on for the rest of the chapter here, speaking without an answer from Job. Well, these two chapters seem to be really doing the same thing. God is now speaking. He is through rhetorical questions, just basically reminding Job of who God is and who Job is. God is everything. Job is nothing. God is the creator. Been here from the beginning of time, before the beginning of time, and as we know it. And Job is not. And he goes into these details of the animals he's created and how it all works. And that's what God knows. That's what God has done. Puts it in a different perspective. Job is to look at his trouble and his pain, his anguish and despair, and have nothing to complain about. Because this is God, creator of all things. No one questions the Almighty. Yet we do, don't we? I don't know if I have out loud, you know, questioned God, but I know I have in my heart, or just in my own despair, wondering what's going on, what God is doing. And so I hear these words this morning as a rebuke to me. What if I to say or think or feel against God Almighty? He's created all things. He created me. He created all of those animals. He created everything in the universe I see. So he's got this. He's in control. Even in my pain or despair of any kind. What do I have to say? Except bring praise to Creator Sovereign God. What about you? Father, thank you for your word this morning, for the story of Job. And Father, I am humbled, as I know Job was humbled, to think about you as creator, as sovereign, who has created all things, all the animals, everything that we see, trying to remind us we have nothing to complain about. You're in full control of this. So, Father, help me, basically, I guess, what do we know? You know, what does Job know about your plans and allowing these things? So, Father, help me today to just put my trust in you. When I think of things that aren't the way that I would like them to be, I don't need to spend a second in despair. Certainly not a second in questioning. But instead, to lift my eyes and heart to you, to thank you, to praise you, to trust in you. And I will do that today. In Jesus' name, amen.